sometimes a little confusion entails, but they'll get there. Amen. You know, if you don't have the sound of kids in your church, your church is a dying church. Amen. Kids are the noise of life and the noise of the church being able to continue, just like a family. If a family is just full of old people and there's no kids, that family is soon going to die out and people are going to forget about them. But praise God, I'm glad our church is still alive. Turn in your Bibles with us this morning into Luke chapter 19. I'd like to welcome everyone out. It's good to see everybody out today. Good to see friends from Florida. We shouldn't call them friends. We ought to just call them prodigal members. Amen. You know, we could pray. We could pray the Lord just bring them back. He can do that. Amen. I don't know if that's what they want, but we could pray to that end. We miss them. Good to have Tony and Kathy back with us. Y'all don't know what happened. They went to Florida to visit. I ain't forgot it either. They went to Florida to visit and came back and told me they were moving. And just 2 weeks or so, sold their house, packed up, and left. Almost like the Baltimore Colts. But now everybody that gets to go down there, they send me pictures. People standing in front of houses with a sold sign or something, trying to aggravate me. See, I haven't got over it because you ain't got over it. But we love them to death and miss them. Amen. And just appreciate them. We always enjoyed fellowship when they're here and always glad that they stop by and see us when they're up this way. And if you don't know Tony and Kathy, stop by and get to know them. They'll bless your heart. And good to see my old boss here. He stops by and visits me every now and then. I never go see him. Good to see Steve and Tina with us this morning. Mr. Kendrick is director of the department that I worked in, and good to see him. Always glad to see him. Amen. And appreciate all of you being here today. Thank our young people for, I think, Sister Mary's Sunday school class. Made us some new tissue covers for our tissue boxes. Now we don't have to worry about trying to find the same box. It don't matter. As long as they're all the same size, they're all going to look the same. It gets hard to do little things like that. You'd be surprised. You know, you don't want 15 different things hanging around. My wife don't either. And she'll drive you. She'll run me all over the country to make sure we find the right boxes that match. Now they all match. Amen. See, y'all made my life a whole lot easier. Amen. If you found Luke chapter 19 this morning, stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word, if you're able. Thankful for the songs that were sung this morning. And trust they've been a blessing to you. And we trust that the Word of God will touch your heart and life today. Luke 19, verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? I want to preach to you this morning about this thought, when only Jesus will do. You see, we got folks in our church that are finding that only Jesus will do. Sister Connie texted me this morning and told me Reeve took a bad fall this week. I had him at the hospital yesterday on Friday getting some x-rays and stuff done to make sure he was all right. And he's getting feeble. And it's getting hard to get around. And his cancer's back and dealing with many things. But he's at the place where only Jesus will do. Robert was on a motorcycle ride Monday evening. And I got a message from his wife. Please pray for Robert. He's been in a motorcycle accident. They flew him to shock trauma. And fortunately, there was no broken bones or internal damage, but he's fractured his skull in several places. They're in a place where nothing but Jesus will do. George and Mary Blue sent us a message the other night and asked us to ask the church Wednesday night to pray. Without asking a lot of questions, just pray for George in a special way. Stopped by Friday and told us that his latest CAT scan had come back. And it don't look good. There's spots all over his body. Don't know the particulars and all the details about everything. All he knows is they're waiting for the doctors to let him know what their next course of action is going to be. He said, I've tried everything I don't know. See, he's at a place where only Jesus will do. Sister Tanya starts her treatments again this week. And I'm sure that Sister Tanya would tell you right now, she knows she's at that place where only Jesus will do. It's good we have the doctors, we have the medical establishment, we have them and all that they can do. But sometimes you get to a place where only Jesus can do. There are folks in our church that have it all. Their life just seems so easy. Their life seems so blessed in so many ways. And people think, well, look at them. They have everything. But you don't realize that many times they're in a place in their life where only Jesus will do. I want to preach to you three different scenarios this morning. I hope we get done this morning. Where only Jesus will do. First one is right here at Zacchaeus. He was a fellow that had everything. The Bible says in verse number 2 that he was the chief or the head tax collector. He had a position that people looked up to and that people acknowledged and that people couldn't deny because he was the chief of the tax collectors. Now, I don't care who you are. Nobody likes a tax collector. Amen? In his day, being a tax collector made you a despised individual, just like it does today. You can say amen. Don't sit there and act all self-righteous and holy to me. Amen? Who enjoys writing them checks out to the Internal Revenue Service? Who enjoys sending your money down to those people that you know it, they're just going to waste it anyway? Amen? You don't like doing it no more than they did in Zacchaeus' day, and you don't think no higher of the Internal Revenue Service than they did in his day either. His position didn't satisfy his need. Now, many times Zacchaeus has been made out to be a crook, and to be unethical and all these things. And I think the Bible teaches us different than that. I think the Bible shows us down in verse number 8, the end of verse number 8, and he says, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him. I believe Zacchaeus was an ethical man. But he had a position, and some people despised his position. The Bible says in verse number 2 that he was a rich man. But Zacchaeus found that all his wealth and all his riches, along with his position, it just wasn't enough. Amen. There was still something missing. There was still something that wasn't fulfilled in his life. And he was wanting to see Jesus because Jesus was passing by. He was willing to do whatever it took to see Jesus. Verse number 3 says he was a short man. And for all you short folks here this morning, there's hope. Amen. I'm looking for her and she's not there. Amen. There's hope. I need to run back to the nursery and see if she's in there. Amen. I tease her all the time. I said, if they ever do David and Goliath for Bible school, it's got to be me and you. Amen. But he was short and he couldn't see where Jesus was coming. He couldn't see because of the press of the crowd that was around him. And the Bible says that it was a crowd so much that him being short, he wasn't going to be able to get a look. And he made provision for that. And he wasn't going to let his short height and his short stature be a hindrance. You know, sometimes a lot of us, we raise up all kinds of excuses, amen, to why we can't do things. I can't serve the Lord because of this. And I can't do something over here. And I can't do this and I can't do that. You know, there's all kinds of excuses. I used to tell the guys that worked for me, they'd come and they'd tell me why they couldn't do things. I said, don't bring me excuses, bring me solutions. Amen. If you don't know, try to find out. If you don't know, pick up the phone. If you don't know, pick up the book and look. But find me a solution. Tell me how you're going to resolve the problem, if at all you can. Amen. Zacchaeus wasn't going to let his short stature be a hindrance unto him. Sometimes we put up barriers. Well, the Bible says it this way. He said, the sluggard says there's a lion in the street. Over in Proverbs. In other words, we make excuses where there is none. We make obstacles where there is none. The sluggard don't want to go out and go to work, so he says there's a lion in the street. You know, a lot of Christians are that way sometimes. You want to see Jesus, but you don't want to go put the effort forward. You want Jesus to pass by your way, but you don't want to get the problems out of the way. In verse number 4, he climbed a tree. Now here's a man that had a position. He had wealth. He had ingenuity and initiative. But yet, he was despised by the people. When Jesus passed by, Jesus came and he looked up into the tree and nobody had to tell him, well, there's Zacchaeus. He already knew. Amen. He already knew that Zacchaeus was a seeking. He already knew that Zacchaeus was a wanting. He already knew that Zacchaeus had a desire in his heart for more than what he'd ever known. And when Jesus passed by his way, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. I'm going home with you. And when he went home with Zacchaeus, everybody said, look, he's going to eat. He's going to the house. He's keeping company with a sinful man. You know, the world today, They put up all kinds of issues about Christians and about serving God. Oh man, you don't have an exclusive means to get to God. All paths lead to God. No, they don't. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." We're all God's children. No, we're all God's creation. We've all been created in His likeness. But he says only those who have been birthed into the family of God through and by the blood of Christ are his children. Amen. The world says it doesn't matter what God you serve and what God you call upon and what God you choose to be your God. Well, it does make a difference because there's only one living God. There's only one true God. There's only one God that can deliver. There's only one God that's able to meet the needs that you have. There's only one God that can satisfy. There's only one God that can give eternal life. There's only one God that has the hope of mankind, and his name is Jehovah. He's the Lord God of everything, the creator of everything. Amen. He's the sustainer of everything. He's the one that hung the stars into place. He's the one that causes the sun to shine. He's the one that gave you the ability to rise up this morning. No, there's only one God. There's only one way. There's only one means. And because of that, the world looks at us and they despises being a Christian is one of the most despised things. The politically correct crowd thinks more highly of the Muslims that would like to kill everyone that's not a Muslim than they do of the Christian that are commanded to love everyone and to seek to let everyone know about Jesus. See, Zacchaeus was despised by the people. He was despised by the crowd. He was despised by those that knew him simply because of who he was and what he did. And yet I believe the Bible plainly teaches us that he was an ethical and a benevolent man. But he still wanted to see Jesus. He still wanted to be with Jesus. He still wanted to know more about Jesus because all that he had, all that he had accomplished, and all that he was just wasn't enough. But when Jesus came to his house, he found he got more than he ever could dream of. In Ecclesiastes 3:10, the Bible says, I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He realized that in this world and in the life that we live, there's just issues of life that we got to deal with. And one of those issues is sometimes the crowd just don't like you. Sometimes the crowd's against you. Man, you go to the workplace, they don't want to hear about you're a Christian. You don't like to work on Sunday. You don't like to do this. And you don't want to do unethical things. You go to school, and we've had some of our kids here in church get harassed by teachers in school simply because they had a profession of faith in Christ Jesus. To the world, don't like us. You go off to college. I don't know if you dealt with it in college.
Not really.
But it's where she goes. That's amen. It's a big difference. But you go off to a liberal arts college and let folks know that you're a Christian. And they'll make it hard on you. You find out that everything that the world has to offer just isn't going to be enough. Nothing but Jesus is going to do. And Zacchaeus has found that out. And Zacchaeus had Jesus in his house. And Zacchaeus had a change of heart. And he had a revelation that all the things of this world weren't what he needed. But the one and what he needed was sitting right in front of him. And when Jesus changed his life, Jesus left him with a hope and with a promise and with a consolation that nothing that he had before would ever satisfy. His position never satisfied. It was never enough. Amen. His wealth. You ever talk to a rich man that's satisfied with all they got? They keep trying to get more. Amen. His wealth wasn't enough. His reputation wasn't enough. People despised him anyway. People were a hindrance in his walk and trying to get close to Jesus, but Jesus loved him anyway. Let me tell you something this morning, folks. We scurry around in life trying to get everything that life has to offer. Man, I want to pick the apple off of the tree. I want all the cherries that life has to offer. I want all these blessings that life can get me. And some of us have found success. We found our mates, our soulmates, and we found the one that God had in store for us, and our life just seems so sweet. We've been blessed with family and friends, and our life just seems so full and complete. But when the things stop happening and stop moving so fast, and we sit down and we start looking around, pretty soon we find ourselves unsatisfied. Because there's only one thing that can truly satisfy, and that's Jesus. Amen. You don't believe that? Ask somebody that has it all that's going through a trial in their life. How many times do we read in the Bible where men were willing to give everything they had to find what the people of God had, what the man of God might have, what the man of God could give? You see, there's nothing like Jesus. And you get to a place in your life and you find out that there's nothing that will do but Jesus. Zacchaeus came to that place when he found salvation in Jesus, through Jesus, and by Jesus, and he found the hope that salvation got or brought to him. But you know what? He was still Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. You know what I mean? You read in the Bible, you see where Jesus has done this miracle, and we'll see it in a few minutes, and he's made a change in somebody's life, and they follow Jesus. But you know where Zacchaeus was? When Jesus left Jericho, Zacchaeus was still in Jericho. Zacchaeus was still a tax collector. Zacchaeus was still doing what he was doing before. But he was doing it from a different heart and a different frame and a different mind. He was doing it from the heart of a child of God. He was secure in who he was in Christ. He was an individual who'd been saved, sealed, and made secure by the blood of Jesus. He was secure in what he did. He was ethical. He was benevolent. He went about his job as best he could, whether the crowds liked it or not. You know what you need to do? You need to go back into the world and quit worrying about people and say, I got Jesus and that's enough. I got Jesus and that's all that matters. I got Jesus and I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Amen. It doesn't matter. You have Jesus, you have it all. His expectation was to see Jesus. And Jesus met his expectation. How many of you come this morning to church with a heart's desire to meet with Jesus? If you come with an expectation, you won't leave disappointed. You see, it's not the man of God that causes Jesus to come. It's the expectation of your heart. Amen. It's not the singing that brings Jesus in, but it's the expectation of your heart. It's what you desire. It's what you need. It's what you find, and you find that nothing else can satisfy you like Jesus can. You see, don't let the crowd, don't let the worldly crowd keep you from Jesus. Some people get in the house of God and they just sit there. They're afraid of upsetting somebody. They're afraid of shouting. They're afraid of saying amen. Afraid of just letting loose and worshiping. Y'all quiet this morning. Amen. I think some of you are letting the crowd keep you from worshiping. Amen.
Well, there's some visitors here. We don't want them to think we're just plumb ignorant down here. And we shout and we holler and we carry on. Well, we do sometimes. Amen. There's nothing wrong with it. Don't let the crowd keep you from Jesus. Amen. Seek Jesus and seek to let him have his will and his way in your heart and in your life. If you've got an expectation to meet with Jesus as he passes by this way, Brother Joe, you know what? He'll stop and meet with you. He knows you before he gets here. Amen. To turn on your Bibles and to Mark chapter number 5 real quick. Mark chapter number 5. Very familiar story, very familiar passage of Scripture. It can also be found in Luke chapter 8, verses 43 to 48. But I like the narrative it gives us here in Matthew chapter 5. Verse number 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had was nothing bettered but rather grew worse when she had heard of Jesus came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, and turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Here we have the story that my wife had sang about. Here we have the story, the account of the woman with the issue of blood. She had spent all. And after she had spent all, she tried everything after all. And everything didn't work. Remember, I preached that message maybe 10, 12, 15 years ago. I don't know. After all, I got some notes right here in the margin of my Bible. I remember preaching that. After all, the Bible said she had spent all. She had sought all the physicians. She had done everything. But after all, amen, after all, she found that nothing could satisfy. After all, she found out she wasn't getting any better. After all, she came to Jesus. And after all, she found that what she needed was right there where she came, amen. And she found that Jesus was all that she needed. There was a long-term illness that she was dealing with. The Bible says it was 12 years, and she was suffering. And she had been to the doctors. She had been every place trying to get help, but she wasn't none the better. You know what? As long as she had an issue of blood, she couldn't go into the temple. She couldn't go to worship. As long as she had the issue of blood, she was unclean, and anybody that touched her was unclean. You know what? She was ostracized by everybody around her because she had an issue of blood, because she had something that was going on in her that she couldn't control and nobody could help her with. But she heard that Jesus was coming, and she knew that Jesus was passing by. And she said, if I could just touch his clothes, if I could, the song says, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. Amen. You know, the Bible says that there was people that was thronging all around Jesus. You know, this morning churches are full of people that are thronging around Jesus, but aren't any looking and reaching and expecting something. Amen. I hope you're not here this morning and not expecting something. She came expecting. She said, if I could just reach out and touch him. If I could just reach out and just touch his clothes. His disciples said, what do you mean, who touched me? The multitudes are thronging about you. There's probably all kinds of hands are touching him. There wasn't none expecting. Amen. The crowd was there, and it was hard to get close, and she couldn't even come up and do it with dignity. She couldn't even come up before him and ask for a touch in just a civilized manner. She had to fight the crowds and get through the crowds, and she came from behind, the Bible says. You know, it doesn't matter how you get to Jesus or where you get to Jesus, just get to Jesus. Amen. She came up behind him and she reached out in the midst of all the throngs of the crowd, and she was able just to reach expectantly and touch Jesus. Amen. You know what's missing in so many of our lives today? We don't reach out expectantly. Amen. We don't reach out knowing that because we've reached out and because we're expecting something that he's going to do something. She already knew before she got there. All she had to do was just touch his clothes. Just get close enough to reach out and touch him. And he would make a difference in her life. And Lord, what a difference he made. Amen. The Bible says right there in verse number 29, and straightway. You know what that means? Immediately. You know what that means? I believe it was in a nanosecond that it happened. I believe it happened so quick that it would amaze scientists. It would amaze the intellectuals today if they could study just how fast that God was able to do something. If they could realize how fast God can work in people's lives and surrender and submit themselves unto him, they would realize that God has the ability to do it exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. August 6, 1986, and that machine grabbed my leg up there in Bear, Delaware, and sheared it most of the way off. I got to the hospital. They brought some doctor in there I'd never heard of before. I had to pick a doctor, and they give me a list of ones, and I said, I don't know none of them. I asked that doctor, said, if you was in my place, who would you pick? He said, Dr. Axe. I said, you being smart? He said, no, that's his name, Dr. Axe. He said, he's one of the best in the country. I said, well, that's one I'll pick. Everybody said, he's arrogant. He's good and he knows he's good and he's arrogant. I said, I don't care. That's the one the doctor said he would pick. That's the one I'm picking. I was laying out there in the hallway getting ready to go to surgery. He come in there, he says, we're going to finish your amputation below the knee. And he said, man, I'm sorry. He said, I just hate to having to do this. And he was going on about how sorry he was. I said, don't be sorry. You're just going to do what you can do. It's not your fault that this has happened. And I'm just trusting that you're going to do what you can do the best you can. I'm trusting the Lord. He says, well, he said, I'm just an instrument. He said, glory. My wife was standing there. She can tell you what I'm telling you, the truth. He said, well, I'm just an instrument. He said, but I think we're going to have to finish the amputation. We're going to try to do it below the knee and blah, 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 so that we can fit you with the prosthetic and everything, and you'll be able to get around a lot better and all this. And I said, do what you got to do. Because you know, you done told me you're just an instrument. And God would have to do whatever's going to be done. I come out of that surgery some 6-8 hours later. He came out and talked to my wife. He said, well, I didn't take his leg off. Glory. He said, first sign of infection, it's coming off, though. He said, he's too young. But the first sign of infection, it's coming off, though. Glory. I trusted God. You say, oh, yeah, I don't, but yeah, that's a good story, blah, blah, blah. What I'm telling you is the God's honest truth. My wife can tell you. You know why I walk on two legs. One of them ain't as good as the other. I got to be careful what I do. Because I reached out expectantly, yes, trusting that God was able to do something. Amen. And you know what God did? He sent a man my way that was arrogant enough to be good at what he did, but was humble enough to admit that he could only do what he did by the grace of God. Amen. After all, she found that when she touched Jesus, amen, she found healing. After all, she found that though she had nothing, because the physicians and those who had promised her all the help in the world had taken all her money and she had nothing to give, Jesus gave her everything that she needed. Amen. After all, the crowd that had hindered her, I bet there was some in that crowd when they seen her coming said, "Get away from me, woman, you're unclean. Get away from me, woman, you're going to pollute me. Get away from me, I don't want you to even touch me. Don't get near me because now I'll be unclean and I'll have to go wash and I'll have to wash my garments simply because you touched me and you're filthy and you're unclean." But when she touched Jesus, he said, "Your faith has made you whole." It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter what you got. It don't matter how dirty and filthy and unclean you think you are. It don't matter how unworthy you think you are if you just reach out and touch him expectantly. Amen. Amen. He'll make a change in your life. You see, she was in the midst of a bunch of religious folks. You see, she was in the crowd, if y'all don't know the story. Jairus, one of the chief rulers of the synagogue, his daughter was sick and Jairus had come to Jesus. And all Jairus' friends were with him. They were the crowd. It was that religious crowd. It was that holy crowd. It was that crowd that looked down on everybody else and looked down on the unclean, looked down on those who had needs. It was that crowd that she was in the midst of. But Jesus didn't care about that crowd because there was a daughter of Abraham that needed a touch. And she reached out and touched him. And when she touched him, he touched her. And when he touched her, everything in her life was changed immediately. And she knew what had been done. And she knew how it had been done. See, she could have just said, "Well, the crowd's too great. I can't go." She could have said, "Well, that crowd is too religious. I can't go." She could have said, "Well, that crowd is better than I am. I can't go." You know how many people tell me that they can't come to church because the roof's going to fall in? I said, "Don't you worry about it. It ain't fell in yet." Amen. Amen. She could have said, I'm unworthy, and if I go, I'm going to pollute everybody else, and I'm going to disappoint everybody else, and I'm going to keep everybody else from being able to get close to Jesus." It didn't matter. She didn't let the crowd keep her from getting what she needed because she knew that Jesus was all that she needed because everything else had failed her. Everything else had let her down. Everything else had disappointed her. And I thought this was going to happen. Not to pull a Jimmy Rowland on you. You'll have to come back tonight to hear the rest of the story. When nothing else will do. When nothing else will satisfy. When nothing else can meet your need. Don't let the crowd keep you away from Jesus. When everybody says it's the doctors that's going to meet your needs, Tanya, just remind them it's Jesus. Amen. He might send some doctors your way. Amen. But you're trusting in Jesus. When everybody else says, you don't deserve it, remind them that none of us deserved it. But Jesus saves us by grace through faith. Don't let the crowd keep you away. You'll never satisfy the crowd. The story I was going to use at the end of the sermon, I'll share it with you in advance. An old man, a little boy, and a donkey were walking up the road, and they passed through a village. And everybody looked at the old man and said, you're foolish. You're an old man. You're walking. Why don't you ride that donkey? So he got on the donkey and he rode. And they went up the road and they went to the next village. People looked at him and said, look how selfish that old man is. He's riding that donkey and he's letting that little boy walk. So the old man got off the donkey and he put the little boy on the donkey and off up the road they went. They got up to the next village and the people said, look how selfish that little boy is. He's riding the donkey and letting the old man walk. So the old man jumped up on the donkey with the little boy and they rode off and they went on up the road to the next village. They got up to the next village. And people looked at him and says, look how cruel they are. They're riding that donkey together. Two of them on that little donkey. How cruel is that? The old man, the little boy got off the donkey. The old man picked the donkey up, put him on his back, and carried him up the road to the next village. And everybody said, look how crazy they are. Folks, stop worrying about what the crowds think. Stop worrying about what the crowds say. Stop worrying about the crowds getting in your way and press beyond the crowds. Work beyond the crowds. Do whatever it takes to get to Jesus and to see Jesus and to be in the presence of Jesus and to reach out and touch Jesus. Tonight I'll finish the message on the two blind men that cried out to Jesus. See, it don't matter whether you got to climb, crawl, cry. Just get to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just get to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church. It's about Jesus. It's not about who's in the pulpit. It's about Jesus. It's not about what singers are singing. It's about Jesus. You see, quit worrying about what everybody else is doing. Quit worrying about what the crowds are doing. Stop worrying about everything but get into Jesus. Because I tell you what, when you have Jesus, you'll find out that nothing else will do. And when you're missing Jesus and you don't have Jesus, you'll find out that nothing else will do. As we stand this morning, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I could remind you of this today, that what America needs and what can solve America's problems is Jesus. Only Jesus will do. With heads bowed, eyes closed, there's no one looking around this morning. Each one of you have this moment of privacy, dignity. There's no one looking around. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I've never trusted Jesus. I'm not satisfied. I can't find anything that does satisfy. My life still seems void and empty no matter what I do. And I realize this morning I'm not saved and I don't have Jesus. And Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Is there one here this morning? Be honest enough with yourself, honest enough before God to raise your hand up and say, Pastor, I'm not saved. But I realized this morning what I'm missing is Jesus. And nothing but Jesus will do. Is there one? Christian, maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're struggling with things in your life. Maybe you've been blessed in every way. But maybe you start looking around at your situation, you start looking around at your problems, and you realize this morning that what's missing in your life is Jesus. And this morning you've realized that nothing but Jesus will do. Would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me, Pastor. Some have already come to the altar. You need to come this morning. Maybe there's something that God spoke to your heart about, something that God revealed a need in your life for. And you know this morning, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that nothing will meet your need. Nothing will satisfy you but Jesus. Will you come as we sing?
Page number 200. 200.
Only trust Him. Only trust Him now.
Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His.
When you tried it all,
only
just reach out and touch Jesus.
Him, only trust Him.
When you've got it all,
trust
and it don't satisfy,
He
just get to Jesus.
You. He will save you. He will save you.
When there's no hope anywhere else and in anything else,
for Jesus,
just trust Him.
His precious,
let Him meet your need.
Rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you.
Amen. Amen.